Did you have you performed ever with Alice since?
Well, actually, in 1999, you know that Glenn passed away in 1997.
Right.
And the fans have put together two Glenn Buxton Memorial Weekends, and they're going to be doing a fifth one. There's four that's already happened, and one in Clarion, Iowa, one in Phoenix, Arizona, one in Los Angeles and Hollywood, and then the fourth one was at in Cleveland a couple of years ago. And then there's going to be one in Chicago this year. And what it is, it's a group of fans that put together, it's just a fun weekend. And, you know, Mike Roos is invited. Dennis and I are invited. Alice is actually invited. And the only time that we've ever gotten together was we were in Phoenix the second year of the Glenn Buxton Memorial weekend. And in the sort of the party night was a Saturday night, was at Cooperstown, Alice's restaurant down there. So, you know, we didn't plan on it or anything. And before then, you know, I'd played with Michael. Dennis and I played together, and Michael had played with Alice. I'd been out to Arizona one time and played with Mike and Alice. Dennis wasn't there. So, I mean, we'd all played together a couple times just for the heck of it. And but this time was for Glenn. And so, like, you know, Alice was there, and we're all just kind of hanging out. And so, like 20 minutes, you know, we just said, "Hey, let's do some songs." Everybody agreed to it, and we went up and played about 35, 40 minutes. And the fans had come from as far away as Iceland and England and Italy and all over Canada, all over the United States. There were, you know, like 1,000 people there. And, you know, they didn't know this was going to happen. And they were ecstatic.
Well, I can imagine.
They went nuts. And, you know, of course, we knew all the songs. We didn't have a rehearsal or anything. We just got up and played. And it was pretty fun.
Do you ever see the lineup doing a reunion?
Not unless we all agree to it. And I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But I would always encourage it, and I would encourage it for two reasons: in memory of Glenn and for the fans.
Did you do much touring for Muscle of Love when it came out?
We did a short tour, and if you go back, that's when the first gasoline crunch happened in late 1973. And when we went into Canada, there was actually, they were boycotting products or anything coming in from the United States to Canada, and there were like other truckers with shotguns to keep our trucks from going into Canada. So that tour was a disaster, and it was a nightmare. I mean, it was just everything could go wrong went wrong. And that was when Bob Green came along with us and wrote that book, Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Baby. And Billion Dollar Babies, whatever it is. And that was just we had the Billion Dollar Baby stage with us, but we played, you know, we went to Canada, did some shows in Montreal and Toronto. We couldn't take the stage, which was fine. I mean, we still did the show, but, you know, it was kind of like going up there with your pants down. I mean, it was just, you know, that show demanded, you know, the huge stage that we had. And, you know, the fans were always happy and everything, but I mean, you know, we just, you know, it was built around our show. And so, I mean, that was the, you know, we talked about some of the shows that were disasters. It wasn't a disaster, but it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't representative of what we were all about. That was a holiday tour. That's when ZZ Top opened for us for the holiday shows. And then, and that was right through New Year's. And then, you know, we were pretty much off the rest of the winter and spring until May, because I think it was April or May when we went down to South America.
Well, do you want to go into some of the solo stuff you've done now, or would you like
sure.
to do that at another time? Or?
No, that's cool. I'm just going to grab a drink of water here, if you don't mind.
Okay. Okay, so then the Billion Dollar Babies record that you did, when did that happen?
That happened almost right after that. That was probably even early 1975. Michael had recorded his solo album In My Own Way. He got a deal on Polydor in Europe and released it over there, and had some mild success with it. And then Alice, of course, did Nightmare, and then after that, we got together to do a group album at my home, my studio in Greenwich, and we started writing songs, and the next Alice Cooper album, number 9, never happened. So we with the group of songs that we had, we got to deal with Polydor in the United States, and recorded the album, released it, and did a short tour. And because basically of management, that was more than anything. And it was always interesting because I hear these stories I love Alice, but you know, whenever he makes any kind of a comment about that the band just didn't want to do theatrics, that's the biggest joke in the world, because I'm probably even as theatrical or more than Alice even is. And as far as what the Billion Dollar Baby band did with Battle Axe, I mean, we sunk a fortune into a huge stage that was elaborate or even, you know, that would be equal or greater to the Welcome to My Nightmare show. And the problem was that we couldn't get the venues to put it in. You know, so we were continuing on the same level that we were on, but we just couldn't get the venues to get the shows to do this huge extravaganza in.
So how many shows did you end up doing?
Not very many. It was like a short tour, maybe like a dozen shows.
And then you got involved with the Plasmatics?
A couple years later, Dennis and I had a band in the late 70s called Flying Tigers here in Connecticut. And one of the, you know, we'd play different places. You know, at that time, there was a pretty good club circuit around the New York tri-state area. And there was a club up in New Haven, Connecticut, and I heard about this band, the Plasmatics, and I went up there to check them out, and I fell in love with them. I said, oh, this is, I mean, first of all, they just, the minute you walked in there, the way they decorated the stage was really, I mean, they just took over. The whole vibe was Plasmatics. And this is the original band, and I just flipped out, and I had to go backstage and introduce myself to them and tell them, you know, how much I enjoyed the show and how great I thought they were. And that's when Wendy was, she had her long blonde hair at the time, and she just, she was topless except for black tape over her nipples, and then she had the chainsaw and cut the guitar in half. And I just kept laughing. This is the greatest thing I ever, you know. And then Richie Stotz, the guitar player, had the blue mohawk, and his head was shaved except the blue mohawk, and he had the white flying V's played. I mean, it was just great stuff. And the band was just like so tight, so outrageous. And I got to be pretty good friends with him. And I said, well, you know, I told him, I complimented him on the show. And I said, what stuff do you guys listen to? You know, and they said, and as a band, and Wendy was there, and everybody said, as a band, they said their favorite album was Pretty's for You. To them, that's like their Sgt. Pepper album. And I went, you guys are really freaking sick. if that's your favorite, he said, that is. They said, Pretty's for You is their favorite album. That's like their number one all-time album. And so I said, I love you guys. And so I told them, I said, if they ever needed my help, that I'd love to play with them. And on their second album, their drummer quit or whatever. They kicked him out. They didn't have a drum, and they were going to record the album. So they called me, and I went down to New York and rehearsed with them and did the second album with them.
Did you do any shows with them?
No, I never played any shows with them. There's two live cuts on the album, but those are studio cuts with a live audience is overdubbed.
Oh, okay.
Because they were in Milano, in Milan, Italy.
Uh-huh.
And so they because I've been asked that before, did you do some shows with them over in Italy? And I said no, but it sounds like that on the album, though. The magic of studio.
So how long after that did you start working with Buck Dharma?
That was like within a year after that. Like that was just, they both happened early '80s, and you know, we had known, because, well, first of all, Buck used to live right here near us in Connecticut, and then Joe Bouchard, who Dennis and I still have a band with, Bouchard, Dunaway, and Smith.
Right.
We've known each other for ages, and so Donald got a deal, I think, with Columbia, the same company that Blue Oyster Cult was on, to do a solo record. And he had various artists that he had, was friends with from his of his connections in show business. And so he had a lot of different drummers that were going to work on the album. And he had asked Dennis and myself to join him. So we did the album, and I recorded two songs on the record, and Dennis, I think, recorded one song on the record. And like I said, it was, Born to Rock was the. The hit song off the record that was played on MTV. And I never even seen the video, which kind of upsets me.
You still haven't seen it?
Never saw it.
Really? I'm sure you'll probably find it on the net somewhere.
He always yeah, it's probably on the internet somewhere. He always said he was going to send me a copy of it, but I never got to see it. But but I heard everybody, you know, they loved it. And the song's great. I mean, it's really a rockin' song.
I remember MTV played that video pretty regularly.
They played it a lot, yeah.